The following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, you let Thanksgiving be Thanksgiving and you get the turkey or whatever it is, a goose perhaps, some type of fowl, a duck, chicken, a turducken perhaps. It's one of those things. It makes it work for you. But you know, from here on out, man, the holidays, man, we got parties here, they got parties there, going to have some friends over, we're going to get together, we're going to watch some TV, we're going to just have a whole moment of frivolity and fun, and that always equates to lots of drinks and lots of food. That's a good thing. Because when it comes to bringing food to your table, I highly recommend you give a look at Central Barbecue. Those of you here in Memphis know what I'm talking about, man. There's three locations here in town. We take it for granted that it's here. We just whip on down to the road. There's, you know, one of the spots. We get our pulled pork. We get our ribs. Whatever we want, they got it. Now, those of you outside of Memphis that have had it, who have been in town, it's like, oh, man, quit talking about this stuff, man. I want some of that Memphis barbecue. Well, let me tell you, you can. You can absolutely get it. All you have to do is go to our website at radio-memphis.com. Up at the very top of the page is a gigantic banner, and it just kind of rotates around. You'll see a bunch of different things. You'll see the one that says Central Barbecue on it. It's got the happy pig on it. All you have to do is click on that, and it'll take you straight to their shop where you can order pulled pork. Oh, slow smoked Memphis style stuff, man. Ribs. My mouth is watering thinking about all this. Get it for your holiday season. You order it on a Monday, it could be there to you on a Wednesday. All the details are up on the site. It's fantastic. It's good. It's something extra to add a little, you know, taste of the South, and you can put it right in your mouth, delivered right to your front door anywhere in the United States of America from our friends at Central Barbecue. Look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com. Give it a click. And get your party started correctly with some Memphis pork from your friends at Central Barbecue. Man, we got a big show. Let's get into it right now. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello. Hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. You know, this is Thanksgiving week, at least when I released this, when it came out the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So, if you're listening to this after Thanksgiving, I don't know what the hell's the matter with you. It's okay, the memories are probably still... The memories, perhaps, the scarring, you know, families get together, there's some... You know, the way it was at my house when I was growing up is the family would be around and nobody ever wanted to be around each other, it seemed. I didn't. I'm antisocial that way. All right, your cousins are coming over. Oh, Jesus, shoot me. Because I always, you know, it was always this whole thing about, you know, family coming over. We're going to have this big dinner. You're going to like it, I was told. You are going to enjoy yourself. You are going to spend time with your family. You don't know how long you're going to have with them. So you will spend time with them. But I always knew at some point in the night or the whatever it was, the Thanksgiving dinner would happen during the day, of course, because, you know, you got to eat early so that you can work the nap in. You just eat later. At any rate, they're eating, there's TV, everybody's watching football, there's something going on, and then somebody inevitably is into the liquor early, and there's that happy, jovial holiday business going on where people are just lubricated enough to be making plans about certain things that you know are never going to happen. Well, sure, and Uncle, we're going to take a road trip together. Sure, this sounds like a great idea. And it's, you're sitting there going, God damn, nobody likes these people anyway, and we're going to plan a fucking road trip with these folks? What the hell? And then you don't have to wait too much longer beyond that, because then it just degenerates into somebody getting drunk enough to tell somebody else off. You know, it's always your fault. My grandma always liked you more than me. That's what it was like. And then, of course, after everybody would leave and everybody would go, well, that's over with. Until Christmas. And then after the Christmas thing, it's rinse, repeat, it would be done and over with. And then that would be that. That was it. For a whole stinking year. Now, there'd be a few times, a few phone calls would get exchanged, but that's about it. There was no ever any road trips or anything like that, but it was, you know, forgive and forget, and you move along. That's family. I know there may be members of my family that are listening to this. Uh-huh. That could very well be. See, this is why I live where I live. See, well, Rick, you don't like your family? I love my family. Of course I do. I exaggerate. I jest. But, you know, as we get closer to the actual day, I've been getting messages from people going, so, Rick, you going to call the turkey company again and put them on the air like you did before? That was funny. No, I'm not. I did last year called the company. They have a hotline. I'm not going to mention their name because if I do, they're going to owe me money. But everybody knows them. It's the turkey company that starts with butt and ends with all. And they have a hotline number that you can call. And it's a bunch of little old ladies that are sitting around waiting for you to fuck up your turkey. So they try and help you rescue it is really kind of what it boils down to. You know, oh, God, help me. How do I cook this damn thing? You know, that kind of deal. So I called them last year and wound up speaking to a very lovely lady. She was their PR person. And she'd actually been the one who'd taken the time to deal with, because she'd spent some time on the line, if you will, dealing with idiots like me calling up and harassing them. And it turned into a 5-minute commercial for butt all turkey. And I just, you know, I appreciate their effort. I dig what they're doing. It's fantastic. But it just, you know, no, they knew what was going on and they were taking full advantage of it, because if she uttered that name once, she made it 1,000 times. And it was like, wow, man, you're really pushing it. Because, see, turkey time is from now until basically the end of the year. Because for some people, they basically have a Thanksgiving dinner again on Christmas. If you celebrate that holiday. And I'm a man of variety. I don't like the same thing. And we'll have ham. You know, there's that. But it's the same fucking thing, you know. In years past, for Thanksgiving, I would have duck. Because duck is delicious. Or perhaps a nice piece of fish. You know, you make a nice meal, have a nice glass of wine and some dessert. You treat yourself a little bit of dessert. You're fine. You're watching TV. You're going to nap anyway. Eat. It's another day of the week. But it's a day off. And that's just kind of how that goes. So, you know, that's how it'll be around the old Cheddar household. Well, you know, fish sticks and PBR or something. However you celebrate it is your business. But at Christmas, I like to do something different. Usually it's involving a casino. Long story. Perhaps I'll share it for you as that time rolls around. Perhaps that is. All right, kids, we have a great show for you here this time around. This is going to be sort of a sneak peek into the look of how the show is going to be changed. Yeah, because we've been talking about it for a while. Episode 100 is going to be around here before you know it. And, this is episode 93. So we're kind of getting the kinks worked out. And we figured, why not? This would be a great opportunity to give the new format a dry run. And what better way to do it than a guest that we had on the radio station. Miss Tony Green. Tony lives in Paris, France. She is an incredible singer. You're going to hear a song from her a little bit later on. And more importantly, you're going to hear an interview. Because she came in and she sat down into the studio with Jeff Janovitz and myself for the Booze and Blues at radio-memphis.com. It's a show that airs on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Central. And we had her in the studio, and I had the foresight to record it. And we're gonna play that back for you. So if you missed it then, you're going to hear it now. So how about that? She came into the studio, we heard a tune, and then we sat right down, and all of the sudden...
Hey, guess what, kid? She's here in the
yes,
studio.
Yes, she is.
Hello, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome
Fine,
home.
You?
I'm so happy to be here, I tell you.
It's home away from home, though, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah. Look, the food here just has some taste that other places just don't have.
No barbecue in France?
They've got it, but they can't do it like they do it at the Rendezvous Central.
It's that slow smoking stuff.
Like, yeah.
You know, something. One of my good friends got married in Paris. It's the time I went. Okay. And they did part of their honeymoon in England, in London. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, like, you know what, if you really got the right people together and opened up a barbecue restaurant or a soul food restaurant in England, you would make bank because the food there is so bad.
I've got to go there, guys.
he said you could probably have like the number one restaurant in yes. England if you did it right.
Yeah, what's the old story about London is that all the food is gray?
Yes.
It's gray or brown.
You know what? It's because it's grounded to make sure it appeases the tummy instead of the palate.
Yes.
Okay. I'm looking at it like that. But I was in France and Boulogne and Italy as well, and they wanted to do some hot wings. And I wanted to get in the kitchen so bad and help them. I just wanted I was like, you know, like, do it, Tony, do it. And I kept looking. I said, do you have any mustard? I mean, I'm asking all the, do you have any ketchup? Also, hot sauce? Do you have anything? Let me help you. I don't know
that you could get a bottle of Louisiana hot sauce there.
You can't get it, but I had some in my bag.
No, I hear you. There you go.
As a matter of fact, I carry it with me.
Yes.
That's smart. That's smart. Keep it with you.
I learned.
Yeah.
We heard the song "Hold On." You were telling us while that song was playing, that was the last one that Willie Mitchell did.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you got to work with him there for a while.
Worked with him as a kid when I was a kid. My first single,
yeah,
which was done. He produced, and it was written by Carl Smith, who wrote "Higher and Higher" for Jackie Wilson and Fontella Bass and all those people.
Wow,
Marshall Jones, and he was the first producer. So I was there at a young age. The title of that song was called "Boy, What Have You Done to My Heart," and so I knew him, you know, for all of my life.
What's it like working with Willie? That had to have been just a great experience all the way around.
I actually, on this last moment, few weeks that we were in the studio,
right?
I was so elated and so honored. I mean, I basically cried when he finished one of the songs, which was called "Undeniable," and then I'm like losing it, you know, because. To see him work at the boards and to see his technique and how it's just, he knows how to just pull those things together.
Right.
It's something that you just don't get anymore.
No.
I mean, honestly, you can't. No. And so I was like really so excited because he kept saying, come on, we're going to do this, Tony. I'm going to do this. I want you to get it done. I want you to do it. And he, you know, he was just like really motivating me and pushing me. And
right.
What an inspiration.
Yeah.
To be in there. And then, of course, I had Teenie Hodges on there.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, baby. Okay, I had Teenie Hodges playing guitar. And wait a minute. Had his brother, Leroy, on bass.
Oh, my goodness.
So let me tell you.
Yeah.
Imagine my first CD was played with all of them. Charles, Teenie, Flick, even Howard Grimes on drums.
Right.
I had the whole rhythm.
Oh my goodness.
I had the whole rhythm on my very first single. Wow. You understand?
Talk about spoiled.
Where do you go? Yeah, where do you go from there? Hey. You know, that sophomore effort is going to be tough.
That first single, was that? How did you end up with that? I did a little research on you. I saw that you'd been a Teen Towner for WDIA.
I made it right in the Teen Towners as they were getting ready to dissipate.
Right.
I caught the last breath of it. Okay. Then the next week we went in, there was no more Teen Towners.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, okay.
But is that what got you kind of the attention of the right people to swim in these circles?
Actually, no. I had a pushy mom. My mother was pushy. And my mother had a social club, and her social club would have the different parties, even at a place called the Paradise a lot. That's where my mother would have all of her big parties.
At the Paradise.
At the Paradise, yes. Yeah. And so I was like, even if we had Syl Johnson as the main act, she made sure Tony Green was going to be on there opening up.
That's the way that works.
So there I was with that. But I was also favored with cousins like the Mad Lads, John Gary Williams with the Mad Lads and another gospel. I mean, I just came into.
You were just around it.
Yeah.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
It was going to happen. Yeah.
I'd run across the street with the gospel group and run back to the R&B group, run back to. So I was like confused. It was a confused child.
Yeah. So you started in gospel then. That seems to be a common path.
No. I didn't start in gospel.
You started in rock and roll,
didn't you,
baby?
I did it backwards because I was the B.A.D. kid.
Uh-oh. That's my favorite kind.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was the kid that went to church, and when they would pass the basket, honestly, forgive me, God, because I've gotten better. I just came from church tonight, so I'm growing. But I was the kind, when they passed the basket, I wanted to go down to the Harlem House and get me a cherry coat.
Ah.
So I took the money out of the basket.
Oh.
I since made up for it, okay?
That's good.
God knows I made up for
That's
it,
good.
Okay?
That's good.
I paid my tithes. So I learned both sides of it. I was never the gospel kid. Everybody grows up in Memphis, they're the gospel people. I wasn't.
Wow.
I did it backwards. I did the R&B and blues.
And then went to gospel.
And then tried to touch upon it. But I was so fascinated with all the beautiful voices, I just shut my mouth up because I've got people in my family who can sing rings around anything that I could ever imagine to do.
Well, your sound is very gospel. You have a gospel vibe.
You think so?
I think so, yeah. You have a tremendous voice. It's very powerful.
I kind of picked up a jazz vibe, jazz singer vibe.
Well, there's that, yeah.
See, that came from my father. My father was a jazz singer.
Oh.
So, like I said, I was confused.
Yeah.
I had the gospel, the R&B, the jazz.
It's like a melting pot of it all. But that's Memphis. That's a Memphis thing right there.
That's the stew. The Memphis stew, yeah.
So you grew up around this. I mean, did you know from an early age that this singing, that's what I'm going
to
do?
I just thought I was kind of crazy, touched a little bit. And because I wanted to just do the music, because to me, just it did something to me from 3 years old. To now.
Yeah.
And so that was just my thing, music, you know.
When it's in you, it's got to come out, as they say.
You know, I remember teaching a class at a place called Easter Seals, mm-hmm. and I had about 12 or 13 kids, special kids, and I would walk in the building, and they knew I was there. Even if they were blind or whatever, because I would always hum when I walk in the building.
Oh,
and they would
yeah.
just bang on the tables because they wanted me to sing them a song.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just like a thing for me. Wherever I go, I like music to be there, part of my life, you know.
Well, that's important, you know.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's great. And I love the sound that you have. This now, you say you have a CD out now. You have a brand new one out that's come out?
I have a brand new one out called Milk and Green,
mm-hmm.
which is a French CD. Was released last Friday. The release date was last Friday.
Yeah.
And it's been released in London, England.
Yeah.
And then, of course, France and so on and so forth. I think we're going to, you know, bring it here probably the top of the year.
You better.
Good.
Yes. Yeah.
Top of the year.
Well, let me ask, what drove you to France in the first place? I mean, why did you want to go over there and stay as opposed to staying here in this place?
Well, actually, it
I didn't mean it quite
that.
Hey, look, I love Memphis as much as anybody else does, you know.
I know you do,
yeah.
And I believe that.
Yes.
Because you're still here. You've been here for 20 years.
I could get up and walk out at any time.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a wonderful place to be. But to answer your question, a gentleman by the name of Sebastian Danjen had been looking for me for about 15 years. He heard me sing somewhere. I have no clue. Maybe it was my first single or whatever.
Right.
And he's French. French writer, producer, has produced great people. And he introduced the fact that I'd like to bring her over here.
Yeah.
But the opportunity didn't avail itself until now, until a year or two ago.
Because it was pretty recent that you moved. Right.
Right. So with that, I went there. I heard this band who were phenomenal people. You know, the sound of what I've grown up with, you know, with the Memphis Horns.
Oh, yeah.
Jean Boles Miller, the Al Green sound, and even the Isaac Hayes sound. So they had that kind of thing.
Sure.
So it was great to
I know there's great horn players over in Paris, for
sure.
Man,
So Memphis music then is very popular there, that sound, that style.
Memphis music is popular all over the world, but in particularly Europe.
Yeah.
They love what we do.
I know they're into jazz a lot, but but blues and soul, they're all into that, aren't they?
They're into the jazz, but they love the blues because if you go there and you just sit there in France, you're going to hear jazz, but you're going to hear blues, people trying to emulate what they've heard.
Wow.
Memphis do.
Yeah.
You know, and they all are on the fact of Memphis. Memphis is so great and wonderful to them.
Yeah.
Then they get into the soul of Otis Redding and the soul of Rufus Thomas and the soul of everybody that's been over, you know.
Sure.
They love it.
Absolutely.
So.
It's a good thing, too, because sometimes I wonder if the people live here appreciate what we've got. So I know that's the ongoing Memphis thing.
Yeah. You got to get away from the city to really be heard. And, you know, do you consider yourself a Memphis artist or do you consider yourself a European artist now at this point?
At this particular point, I'm going to not plead the fifth, but I'm going to say that I think that I've got a mixture of some things that I was born to have.
Right.
And I've now been afforded the opportunity to be in Europe. with it.
Right. So she's already measuring things in kilometers, Rick. I think
I know. Yeah. I know that.
That would be well, that would be the most intimidating thing of moving over there to me is just.
Well, let me ask you this then: conversion. How much of an influence has being over there affected your music, or has it?
It has affected it greatly because number one, and I'm going to keep it real with you.
Yeah.
Gigging is a big important factor, and I know musicians are in this room; they can attest to the same fact.
Mm-hmm.
The fluent part of gigging and having a gig and a job to be able to pay your light bill and your rent is a great thing. It's a great honor.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that opportunity here. You know.
Okay? Oh, absolutely.
We're well aware.
A lot of that you got to pay. A lot of that you got to pay to play here.
You have to pay to play, and then once you pay to play to work 5 and 6. Sets a night,
right?
Yeah. And
there's not that many gigs around,
right?
Yeah.
And then it's not that many, but if you do get a gig to play 5 gigs a night, sets a night, 45 to 60 minutes per night, doesn't add up to what it really
living
should be.
Wage, right? Yeah,
because
a living wage.
You got to leave there. You got to drive your car. There's gas. You got to put in your clothes. There's clothes, and all those things. And you guys know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So with what I'm doing now that I've been blessed to do. It's a different world because
they pay their artists over
what
there.
You
don't
say it,
honey. You can perform for a living.
Get around
you can be a working artist. Yeah.
Yes.
But that's important. That's important. That's you know.
It really is.
It's that's one of those things that why the system is broken. I don't think just here in Memphis. I think here in the United States in general with the entire. I've heard it said that the music industry is hurting. Not the music's not hurting. The music industry is hurting, and nobody's really figured out how to fix that here.
Well, here in Memphis, it shouldn't be.
Right? Because no, it shouldn't be.
We are the music.
But it is.
Yeah. So should be our number one export here.
Actually, Nashville is great, wonderful, but Memphis. I mean, Justin Timberlake.
Right.
Yeah.
He's our person.
That's right.
But he goes to Nashville and is just Harold.
Yeah.
Wonderful. But here, no, a little bit, but not as much. So what it really placates is to say that Memphis is a phenomenal place for music. Now we need to back it up.
Absolutely.
Back it up. Because we're not backing it up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Okay, now I said that. This is Tony Green. Thank you very much. I said all
that's
of that.
That's fine. I'll stand with you on that. I think you're absolutely correct.
100%.
That. And that's why we do what we do here.
Right. Yeah.
You know, is to shine a light on it. We've made a few enemies in the process of doing that because we're stepping on the established system. And I don't mind doing that at all.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Yes, yes, I do it out of my heart. You better say it again.
But that's the whole point. You have to make those rumblings. You have to be noisy like that. You have to step on that to make it better.
Well, that's why I don't know if you heard about the Bonafide Blues Festival that the Blues Society did a month ago.
I did, yeah.
And that was a huge step forward. I don't think we even realized, those of us who were involved in it, how big of a step forward that was for paying artists a decent festival wage to play in their home, in their own backyard. When they're done for the night, they get to go home instead of have to get on a bus somewhere.
Exactly.
I think that's a massive step
forward. And I love that he stepped out and was brave enough to do, because even on Bill Street, and I'm not to stab them, but I know artists who have worked Bill Street from sunup, from 11 a.m.
Right.
in the morning until 10 at night, and only make $35 to
split
among six
that's
people.
That's criminal.
Yeah.
And so that's heartbreaking, criminal, and everything else. But we need more things like what Mark has done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to step out and have, you know, this heart and soul about it.
Right. Absolutely.
I understand that, speaking of festivals, we Mark and I were talking on the parking lot about this one in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of it again? The and you play it, don't you?
Paretta Soul Festival.
Oh, the Paretta Soul Festival, yes.
Yes.
And apparently, now in this town where this
sounds
is at,
like fun.
People there love Memphis. They love the artists. And it's like this really almost a kind of a surrealistic world about it. Is that right?
It's almost like a cult because they love Memphis music.
Yeah.
Rufus Thomas Park is there.
Yeah. Oh,
that's where we all play. But let me paint the scenery for you so you can really see part of what we feel as musicians coming from Memphis when we get there.
Yeah.
When we arrive there, they're all waiting on us, you know, with like these signs and everything embracing us and yelling our names as we're walking down the street. and we're there for like 5 or 6, 7 days.
Yeah.
And the artists come on and they play, and the people are there just packed into this park.
Wow.
It's called the Rufus Thomas Park. Mind you, there's also a street called the Otis Redding Street. That, I mean, because they are so into who we are.
Yeah.
And as well as my picture was on the bus. I'm looking at the bus right down the street with my picture on it, and I'm like tripping, like,
oh, yeah. How did this happen?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm, and then I'm in the hotel, and the big poster is as big as this, this wall with me on there. These are things that you don't get. And then to play to 15,000 to 20,000 people.
And they're just eating it up.
And they're like, they know you. People standing in the front, weeping and crying, you know, women and men crying because you're singing.
That's great.
That's incredible.
That's an awesome experience,
it's
though.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So that's what we are confronted with when we make it over there. And
we need to go to that festival.
So next year, I've never been to Italy. This sounds like a great reason to go.
Are you playing it?
I'm playing next year.
We're there.
Come on. I want you to come because I'll tell you, it's an experience that you will not regret.
Looks like the Stax Museum is actually involved in it.
And Stax has been there. Stax, yeah. Kids, and this year I was helping with other artists to try to help, you know, him, you know, with decisions he was going to make to bring them over as well.
Right.
Yeah.
It looks like a 4-day pass is only 75 euros, which really isn't that bad.
It's about 100 bucks, yeah. Or so. Yeah, we need to go.
It's eating, right? Fun, everything. Yeah. Euros. It's
about $150, roughly.
Well, no. Or is it? 775 is probably right there at 120.
120?
You know, somewhere.
Yeah. I haven't been back to Italy in years, and I would love to go back.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we could go broadcast from there. That'd be big.
Oh, gosh, yeah, wouldn't
that
it?
That would be awesome.
Well, we're an internet radio station. As long as we have an internet connection, we can broadcast anywhere.
Why don't you do that?
Well, let's go.
Yeah, come on. What's up?
If you're buying the tickets, boss, I'm there. Yeah, let's go.
We need to get that travel agent.
That's what, yeah, I'll get the festival passes if you handle the airline tickets.
As soon as I work out a nice trade arrangement with a travel agent, we are there, man.
Come on, we are so there.
We're
actually thinking about getting some people to come from Memphis too.
I think why not? That'd be great.
Yeah.
They would dig it, and it would give those folks there to meet like Memphians. It's like a traveling zoo.
Get some to barbecue to ship some ribs. And...
Yeah, ship some barbecue.
Well, see, now we're talking. See, we could probably get Central on board, and we'll pack up a couple of hundred pounds of pork. And
they're
we'll,
one of our sponsors.
Beef for me. Beef.
Oh, you bringing the brisket,
huh?
All right.
The brisket, baby.
Good stuff.
We'll get all that done, and we'll even take over some proper hot wings.
Oh, yeah, proper.
Proper hot wings.
Proper, honey, proper.
Proper hot wings. You know, and like... you know, some Memphis beer. We'll see if we can make.
Oh, yeah, there you
we
go.
Can they have love beer. We can oh, have a Memphis tent.
That would be awesome.
See, that would be the thing to do.
You starting some stuff in here. I'm.
Well, we dream big in here. We dream big in here.
We don't horse around with any of this. You know.
I'm feeling all of this. Okay, come on.
Well, I'm not saying we don't act on those, but we just got to start with reaching high.
Look, so. I'm seeing the plane rock to the side and rock. Well, Memphis people. Who is that? That's Memphis.
How true. Can you hang for a little while? You got
some
place.
I'm hanging, honey. I'm hanging. You got me up now. You talking about those ribs. we'll
make it work.
Yes.
We'll make it work.
So malted milk, is that, they're off Prince Dudes? Is that...
They're all French.
They're all French, and they sound like they... Yeah, they sound like...
Yeah, so that sounds like a Memphis band.
Sounds like the Memphis horns at some point hooked up with you over there.
It's impressive, yeah.
Right. And they are phenomenal. The horn section is a guy by the name of Vincent Aber, and he plays trombone.
Yeah.
Ooh, very good. And then PM, we call him Pierre Himo.
Yeah.
And excellent. I mean, and they are so good. They play with all kind of big groups as well, but the main group is Malted Milk. And the band, which is headed by a gentleman by the name of Arnott Fradin.
Yeah.
And he's the lead guitarist. And it's a phenomenal group.
How did you get hooked up with these guys?
Well, as I said before, with Sebastian Danchin, mentioned me to them and them to me.
Yeah.
And we tried it. Just to see what would happen, and from there we've been rolling for 2 years. You know,
fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, because you're not expecting that sound to come from those guys, and that video was great. It looked like you were you at a festival there?
A festival, the Van Festival, which is something like the not really a festival. It was like the Grammy show here in America, and it's their Grammy and jazz show. And we were the opening, one of the opening acts, which I didn't know because I didn't really speak the language. I didn't know where the world I was. All I knew was I was on stage and the cameras were going, and I'm going like, I said, where are we? Tony, we are at the Grammy show, like in America. Yeah. Don't you know? And I said, no, I don't know.
I don't know.
Are you serious? I said, TV? I made it to the Grammy show.
Yeah.
And I was so excited, you know. So I've got to learn the language, you know. I'm trying. It's very difficult.
Duolingo. Get the app for your phone. It's free.
I tried that, but the one I had was Babbel, and Babbel didn't give me.
No, Duolingo is pretty cool.
Duolingo. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah,
the Rosetta Stone stuff's way too expensive.
And too crazy.
Well, they're kind of out of business now because Duolingo is free.
Oh, honey, yeah. You say it again. It's free.
It's free.
Spell Duo so I can know what I'm doing.
Duolingo.
Duo. Okay.
Yeah, cool. You can find it. Yeah,
and it just translates.
No, what it does is it teaches you the language.
Oh, it teaches
you. Yeah, it does it like Rosetta Stone, so you're immersed into it immediately.
Okay, cool.
I did the Pimsleur method for Spanish, and that was all right.
Yeah, and this works a lot. It's like playing a game.
Yeah.
So you're working right there along with it, and you're having some fun with it. And cool. If you get through all of it, you become conversational. Not fluent, but conversational.
I like that.
But you'll pick that up as you go, you know. Right. And the more you spend, obviously, since you live there, you spend a lot of time there, you'll pick it up that much faster.
Well, I'm a Southern girl, so usually when the guys are talking and they say something, I say, "What did you say?" You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I give them that look, that Southern look.
Yeah.
So they, Tony, we say, so they'll explain to me real quick.
Right.
So we have that communication to where they'll tell me.
Yeah, there's
I'm learning little bits.
There's a cultural difference in there.
It's tough,
yes.
But being around it constantly.
Yes.
Because what they find funny, you might not.
Absolutely. And
like Jerry Lewis.
Like Jerry Lewis. I was thinking the same thing.
Sorry. I mean, that was, yeah.
That's a inside joke.
Just Jerry Lewis is very popular in France.
Okay,
Oh, he's huge.
Or he was at one time. It's just, that's just, you set that up. And I
had to take it. Yeah, it was
perfect. Hey, lady.
Hey, lady.
Wow.
Take that back with you.
Okay. I do that sometimes, but the guys are quite, I'm tall.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And very tall. And imagine the guy, so I'm kind of taller than the guys. So I'm probably quite threatening to a certain degree. So
probably so, yeah.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
There's an intimidation factor.
Yeah, yeah. And then I've got this black thing going on. You know what I'm saying? Like my mom and my grandmother, what did you say? I'll explain something to you right now.
Don't make me cut you.
Don't make me cut you. Let me pull out this Southern tongue. So they're very respectful.
Oh,
so
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pull back. But the demure situation with the women there is a different kind of thing. This is a very demure, very nice, and very kind women.
Oh, yeah.
And very pulled back. I'm not. I'm a little more talkative.
Well, you're a strong woman.
There you go.
You're a strong woman. And it shows on stage, too, by the way.
Does it?
I'd say so.
Oh, goodness. I was trying.
I mean, you're a very powerful entertainer. I mean, that's just it. I mean, you're the sound even, not just from that live thing that we saw there, but, from what we're hearing in the studio and stuff, you pack a lot of punch.
Okay. I was trying to hold it back.
No, you can't hide it. I can hear it in your voice on those tracks.
Oh, Lord,
yeah,
no.
You can't hide that.
Well, I'm over there by myself, so
you gotta stand your ground.
That brings up a good point. Have you ran into any other expats from the South?
I have, but let me tell you, the wonderful thing about being there for myself coming from Memphis is that I've had other artists, female artists from France, Italy, and other places told me that. One lady in particular told me that she's a French artist. She said, "I changed my whole persona, my whole everything because of you."
Really? Oh my, that's
and,
a
wow. Yeah, and she's a very popular artist over there. I can't think of her name right now, I will later. But she changed it. She said, "Because on stage you are so strong and you have this power," you know, she would say. And I said, "I don't recollect I have this. She said, yes, you do. And I can see, and you let the band know I'm here to perform it, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So she said, I changed because you gave me that.
It's confidence, I think, is so much of it.
Right. Yeah. It's probably. And then I'm a little bit crazy. You know.
The best kind.
Yeah. And
she carries hot sauce with her in a bag.
Yeah.
That's not crazy. If you're from Memphis, that's a necessity when you overseas.
Yes, it is. That's just smart packing.
That's just smart thinking. What was I thinking? Yeah.
Look, when I went on that backpacking trip 2 years ago in New Mexico, we had a big old container of Rendezvous dry rub with us.
Wow.
Did you really?
And you know how many times that came in handy?
I can imagine.
What?
Eating trail food,
canned
tuna.
Yeah, oh,
just some hot sauce and some Rendezvous to put on it. So.
Just to make it work.
That's right.
Now you feel me.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
You gotta, that's just smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you have to do it that way. So when you're working, when you're touring, you take Malted Milk with you. Are they your touring act, or you got a band, a different band?
They are the band. I leave from Memphis to go to where they are.
Yeah.
And as I said before, they are the ones who pulled this music, you know, rhythm in
yes.
the pocket.
Yes.
You know, rhythmic people. You know, so. It would be such a shame to try to get someone else to emulate what's already been set.
Absolutely. They've already established that.
Yes. So, and I hope they feel the same way about me. If they don't, what you said I'll do.
Cut them. Just lightly.
Just
you know,
cut them.
Just a little bit.
Go to a barber supply and get you a straight razor.
A straight razor.
And
like,
and keep that in your bag and just whip that out every once in a while and say, now look.
Hey, so
you could be like James Brown and fine the band every time they don't show any respect to you, see?
Yeah. That's what they say. They call me the Jackie Brown. They call me Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown.
I said, where did you all see Jackie Brown? Tony, you are Jackie Brown to us because you, we dare not do nothing to you. I said, right.
You're right, and it better stay that way.
Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown, can you believe that? So I went and got the movie and started researching some more.
Yeah.
I would start practicing.
I love that movie. Actually, I just saw it again recently.
Yeah, I did too.
But Robert Forster is so good in that.
Pam Grier is a beautiful woman anyway.
Yes.
She's fantastic. And yeah, I could see where they could make that connection.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when you guys first got together, I mean, did you have to rehearse a lot? I mean, did it just gel
It gelled. Yeah. I mean, we have not had any extensive rehearsals at all, honestly.
Just came together.
It just came together, and it was just like we...
That's when you know it's right, though, yeah.
And we knew each other, and they knew... Because they studied me before I got there.
Right.
Okay.
So they knew how you wrote.
They knew how I wrote, and they knew how I would cut them. They didn't play it right.
All right. So was it difficult for them to learn the music for you? I mean, picked right up. I mean, did you actually write the sheet music? They have the charts for these cats, or did they just picked it up by ear?
They picked it up, but they also had their charts. Horns had their charts, and they were so adamant about doing everything correctly.
Oh yeah.
And to even expanding on the music.
Right.
Because I took them tracks.
Ah.
I sent tracks over. They sent me tracks, so we had each other's tracks of what they thought we could do for this particular CD.
Right.
And then when I got there, we took what I had given to them and expanded. Then what they gave to me.
Right.
Of course, I did my little bit on it. So we interjected. Nobody was.
So it was a collaborative effort.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nobody was a king or queen dog in this thing.
It was collaborative then.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Good word.
So both you and the band were able to bring something to the table on a creative. So they could come to you and say, hey, how about this? Or how about that? And you could do the same thing.
Right. Even with back vocals, I mean, I was the arranger, particularly on the back vocals, period. Mm-hmm. And they were like the musical people. And then, you know, I would, since I don't play the guitar or the piano and all that, I could hum the notes because that's what I learned from being at High Studio with the guys, you know, by ear.
Do you have perfect pitch?
I don't know if I have perfect pitch now. I think when I was younger, I had perfect
you
pitch.
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
So you could hear it and know it.
I could hear it and know it, and I could hum it or whatever. But I think now I'm just so crazy and so whatever, You know, it just comes together to do that Southern thing.
See, that, and that's just it, too. I guess it's because I'm having trouble wrapping my head around the idea that you have a bunch of French guys that have fallen in love with the scene, but you don't know if they've got any soul or not. You know, if they don't, have that delayed third beat, you know, or if they've got, you know, whatever, that one. You don't know if they can feel that.
Right.
But it sounds like they do, obviously,
they
from
do.
That.
They do. They do. Let me tell you something. The drummer's so phenomenal. His name is Vincent, and he just, like, boom, he's, like, on that thing.
Right.
In the pocket. So everybody was just, like, in the pocket. I really didn't have any hard work to do.
Yeah.
You know, only thing we had was, like, a slight, you know, not knowing what I was talking about at times.
Right.
But a couple of the guys speak English. So
that helps.
That was very helpful. Yeah. And then the head guy who brought me over, he spoke English. So we kind of now know each other, and we're very protective of each other now. I mean, they're very, very protective of me, you know, and I am of them as well.
Sure.
All of their wives and children and whatever else. So,
you keeping them away from all those dirty groupie girls?
Yeah. but they've strictly gotten rid of me. Okay, let me tell you what they do. They know I don't fraternize and whatever. They know I want to go to my room.
Right.
So they send a car for me real quick.
Oh dude.
Your car is here.
Oh, your car is here.
Yes. So I fooled them a couple of times and stayed back. And then when I walked in the room, they were like,
uh-oh, party's over.
So they soldiered up.
That's part of the cultural differences from over there and here, too. Yes, you know. Yeah.
Well, no, not really.
Really?
They're the same.
Are they really?
The bands are the same.
Well,
thought patterns are the same.
Musicians are musicians no matter where you go,
there
right?
There you go.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you're from. They are still musicians. Okay?
They're professional on stage, and then whatever happens after is a different animal.
There you go.
You know, that's the nature of the beast.
That's the nature of
it's
just... Well, see, I'm the mummy of the group, and I'm Jackie Brown.
Yeah, Jackie Brown. Yeah.
Wrapped up in that. So when I walk in the room, they soldier up.
Oh, yeah.
They get very respectful.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
Well, that keeps a nice working relationship.
It does. Yes.
Keeps the trouble out of it.
Yeah. Because they know I'm very professional. I play no games.
Yeah.
This is business for me, and I want you to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, so we can make money, and no one has to fall off the mountain.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So is the
it's such a fine line to walk when you get to that point,
too.
When you've got a group that's firing on all eight cylinders. And you're touring, and you've got... You know, you got it all worked out.
Yes.
Is the recording process pretty much the same over there as it is here? Is it a little different?
I think it's a slightly different, and I'll say this to say that what I learned from the Willie Mitchells and the Arden Studios and the Nico Lyricists and all those people is how they set their patterns to do what they do.
Right.
But these guys in France and Italy already have it set. Each person already knows what their job is, and it's only one person who's going to run that thing.
Right.
And that the other guys do not say a word. They follow.
Wow.
Over here, Memphis musicians will
they're fighting each other.
Yeah.
What you said, honey.
Right.
And talking and the discipline is just not like it is over there.
Wow.
The discipline ship is different. It's a respectability. Okay.
Makes sense.
And if we get that here, we'll be a force to be reckoned with.
Imagine that, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, band showing up rehearsed before
a recording session on time.
Well, you know,
warmed up and ready to go.
And this is just in my small musical career experience. I think digital kind of killed the discipline a little bit. Back when we were on tape, and time was money, and you know. Digital kind of killed the discipline that you had, because we're in the studio and you know you're recording on tape and you just don't have time to play around. Everybody seemed to come up ready to go, but now these days it's a lot more lax.
They're recording in your bedroom.
Yeah. Well, no, just even when you go to Arden and you go to band in Arden and just, you know, well, we blew that take, let's just do another one. I remember when it wasn't quite that easy.
Not that easy.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I love about these guys. Even though the digital thing is there, they still rely on the whole old-fashioned scheme of it all.
Right.
And this new CD that we have out now is vinyl. we went back to the vinyl.
Awesome.
I saw that you had a, like a double album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing. They're going back because I found that vinyl. Well, they told me, and they're absolutely correct. Vinyl has a better sound than the CDs.
Right.
And a longevity.
Right.
So of course, we had a distributor out of London, out of England, who is our major distributor, who's doing vinyl.
It's come back in a big
way. So we're back at the vinyl now for us. So I think if the musicians here would do the same thing, the studios would do the same thing, I think we would get back to the basic of things and things would be greater.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
We could capture that real Memphis sound again.
You're right.
Yeah, because that there's something, you know, when you get into a studio and you're recording in an analog environment, you can really drive the hell out of tape.
Yes.
You know, and it sounds good. You do that digitally and it sounds like,
It sounds plastic and
it just doesn't sound
it's
right.
Like they're over here and you over here and you're trying to catch up with
right
and all the filtering and all the nonsense that goes into it, you know. So bringing it back to the old ways is probably a tremendous thought.
Yes.
So how many albums did they have before you joined up with them? Looks like three or four, is it right?
Three or four. Exactly.
I'm sorry, I'm spying on here looking on iTunes. Okay. But their top four tracks of theirs are all with you now. Definitely.
How about
definitely
that?
Changed the game. Yeah.
That says it all.
A great thing. That's a great thing.
You're over there stalking on the guest. What are you doing?
No. I always want to make sure that people know where they can get the stuff. So I was just checking.
Well, Milk and Green is available on iTunes.
Yeah. So milk-green.com is their website.
And buy it from there,
yeah.
We didn't know whether to name it Green and Milk or Green Milk.
It's like a Dr. Seuss book.
We couldn't figure it out. But, we kept saying, like, if it's in Ireland, they would say this is green milk from a cow.
Right.
Yeah.
So we were trying to figure out what we were going to, really do.
Yeah.
So Milk and Green. Yes. See, I'm thinking of something completely different.
What are you thinking of?
I
don't want to know what you're thinking of. I take that back.
No, when you were talking about, who was it that said that, it doesn't matter if it's green, it spins?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know?
Or it smokes.
It spins or smokes. That's
okay,
it. Yeah,
okay,
you know.
Okay.
I was thinking of that Nick Colasa track, Grapes and Greens.
Yeah, Grapes and Greens.
Grapes and Greens.
Yeah. Referred to it as food. Is that what he said? It was food of some sort? I forget the.
That was his take on Muddy Waters' Champagne and Reefer.
Yes.
Muddy Waters, one of my favorites. Well, Milk and Green, Malted Milk has a significance about it.
Right.
It was the John Lee Hooker song, Malted Milk.
Ah, that's where they got that. All righty.
So that's where they got that from, okay? It was a John Lee Hooker
song. Named after John Lee Hooker song.
Yeah.
Very nice.
As a matter of fact. Oh, I thought. Robert Johnson.
Johnson. I'm sorry. Yeah, did I say Hooker?
I thought because I knew I saw that somewhere. Yeah, but Robert.
My apologies. Yeah,
that's good.
Yes, Johnson.
No. That's fine. It wouldn't shock me that John Lee Hooker did it.
Yeah.
You know,
probably like five different versions.
I get them confused, but it is Johnson. It is Johnson.
Yeah, malted milk. Yeah, that's clever. You know. Yeah.
That makes sense. We have to play that later.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, at least they could have named the band Milk Cow's Calf. See, it could have gone a whole different way. See.
So your smart. Mind is wonderful. You have a wonderful mind.
Thank you.
I don't know. You just had a little peek into it. You might want to reserve your judgment.
Let me take it back then.
People that spend much time with me have probably a different opinion after a while.
Oh, it's a beautiful mind, all right.
Depends on how you define beauty. That's all there is to that. So look, next time you're in town, will you please come by and come say hello to us?
I would love to. You guys are hilarious, but let me say this to you. I am so honored to be here and so very proud of the fact that you are doing what you do to keep this music of Memphis alive and around the world.
Thank you.
Because we don't have enough of it.
Amen to that.
And somebody's got to be bold enough and strong enough, and I think this radio program says that, and it gives us a forum to be able to stand on.
Well, yes.
Sure. Did I say that good?
Did you just said it beautiful. You made me sound better than I am. A better human being than
but
I am.
But I meant every word, okay? I meant it.
Well, when you get back overseas, tell everybody over there about this. I mean, I know we come on at probably a really bizarre hour for them, but,
Yeah, about 7 hours.
Are we 7 hours?
7 hours.
Are we wrapping this up? Is that what we're doing?
I got all night, man.
I just, yeah.
But I don't.
She don't.
You don't. can't stay here all night.
Well, I just wanted to let people know where they could get the tracks, which milk-green.com. You can go to the store section there. And as we always try to tell our listeners, buy it from the artist's site if you can. You know, you guys are linking to
Apple's Amazon. Got enough money.
Yeah, Apple's got enough money, but you can't get it on iTunes. You can also get it at Amazon. Yeah, so you can also get it on vinyl right here.
Yeah.
And also, your tour dates are on here.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Paris on the 23rd of November at New Morning.
Yes, New Morning. New Morning is a place that.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
I don't know if you guys know about New Morning. No. It's where Miles Davis, Coltrane, and all of the great jazz musicians played in Paris.
Oh, wow.
This is
okay.
a very, very historical place.
Yeah, that's cool.
And to be able to have our CD release party there.
That's the CD release party on the 23rd.
Yes.
It's my daughter's birthday, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday, baby. What's her name?
Her name is Melody, and she's going to be 16 on the 23rd.
Oh, Melody. Yeah. Happy birthday, girl.
Oh, she doesn't listen to the show.
Listen to that's the awful. Old guys.
Daddy likes that old blues music. I don't get it.
Well, yeah. Tell them to wait, her time's coming.
Oh, yeah.
It comes to us all.
Yes.
But I'm not sure if I'm saying this. One Wooing Court on the 24th, a place called Picardy Move.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably best if I don't try to read these French names.
But in London, you got that one.
25th in London, in the UK, Hoxton Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go to milk-green.com and look up the tour info. Yeah.
Oh, and one more. We have Algeria. I'm going to be in Algeria on the 28th of November.
Algeria on the 28th. That's not on the site.
That's North Africa.
That's correct. And as well, I will be doing two TV programs in London, England, when I come back from Algeria for Christmas. It's the Christmas.
Are you doing a Christmas
show.
Special?
Yes, I
awesome.
Am. Yeah.
So it's Christmas in London for you this
yes,
year.
Yes, it is. Well, no. I will be back in Memphis for Christmas, but
awesome.
But I'm just taping the pre-Christmas show. Oh, yeah.
So are you going to be playing when you come back?
Yeah, do you do any? Are
you going
to
play here?
I know it's hard to
can we, like, come
get
see
a paying
you?
Gig here. Believe me, I know. Some of our favorite artists that live here, we don't get to see here.
I know.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to do some things as the year comes, up. But
we want to come, sit on the front row and stalk you from there.
Yeah, come on.
I know this man right here works for an organization that could probably plug you into something.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Wonderful. Let's do that because I'm free.
That would be so nice.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, she's not free. She's available.
Well, no. I don't sing for free. I have to get paid.
That's right.
There could be a new tune right there.
I think so.
Yes.
I think so.
Jeff, grab the guitar. I think we're going to write a tune.
Yeah, let's write this song.
We're going to make something happen, by God. That's just the way it works.
Or what they say, I have to have my money.
That's right.
Before I step on the stage. And if I don't have my money, I'm going to go into a black woman's rage. That's a fact.
That is a fact.
It's beautiful, too.
Yeah, because you're not going to do any of that, the clubs not paying artists over there. They're not going to put up with that nonsense.
Oh, no.
Like over here.
No,
you
absolutely
play the,
not.
You play the show, and they go, I ain't getting no money.
No, yeah. Well, my mom taught me years, a long time ago, when she threatened a place called the Rosewood. I don't know if you know about that place years ago. She told the owner, she said, if you don't have my daughter's money, we're going to burn the place down.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say it was either Howard or Willie Grimes. Howard Grimes or Willie Hall, one of them mentioned
Willie
Rosewood.
Willie Hall was my drummer with Isaac Hayes.
Was he?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
He's been down here a couple of times.
Oh, I love Willie.
Yeah, Willie's awesome.
Willie's crazy as a road lizard. Don't I don't know about the awesome part, but he's crazy.
He's fun to be around. Yes.
Oh, yeah, drummer. One
of
the best.
Here pretty soon we're going to have Howard back down here.
Howard, wow.
Yeah, we're gonna have Howard down here, and we'll tell him you said hello.
Do that. I'll get a chance to see him hopefully before I leave somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Howard felt he didn't get enough time to talk about Willie Mitchell, so he wants.
That's why he wanted to come back. Yeah.
You know, maybe we ought to work that out where you're back in town and have the two.
That would be awesome.
Have you and Howard to sit down here tonight and let you guys have a conversation about Willie.
Yeah, I would love that. I'd be honored to come back.
That would be wonderful.
So, we could totally make that happen. Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
Cool.
That'll work. That would be beautiful. Okay. Well, we'll devote an entire 3 hours to that whole deal. We'll just sit back here and watch that conversation.
That sounds awesome. You know me. I love. That's the best part of this job is to get to talk to artists like you, hear the stories. It gives me such an appreciation. I already appreciate the Memphis music legacy, to come close to it, to understand the parts of it that I either wasn't around for or didn't know about, it means a lot to me. So,
and it's very important that we know that as artists, that somebody cares, because a lot of radio stations do not care. play your music.
Yeah. Honey, I worked in the corporate world for 30 years.
But it hurts and kills a lot of artists. I'm so glad and grateful that I came up under the people that I did, and now having you guys now as an additive, it makes me know that somebody gives a doggone. But think about that young artist or that older artist who does not have the same platform. They're really suffering because all they want to do is just give their music and do what they do. And so to them, I'm going to say to you, don't stop. Just keep on keeping on.
That's right.
Keep on going. Pushing. And you're going to hook up with some great things. You got Mark here, and Mark is going to be doing his big festivals. He's got a lot of things getting ready to come. We're going to do some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And maybe it can be a platform for them to come and have their music. You know,
absolutely.
That's just it. Having the flexibility that we operate under.
Yeah.
When an artist comes in and says, "Look, I've made this record. I believe in it. Will you give it a listen?" And then I'll go, "You know what? This is pretty good. I'm going to play it."
Yeah.
I don't have to run it through a committee of corporate idiots that don't know.
Say it again, honey.
Corporate idiots that don't know anything about the music business.
Say it again, honey.
Corporate idiots,
or even worse, that don't care about the local music.
Should they care?
We could be in any city on earth right now, and I'm sorry to all the rest of the cities, unless you're New Orleans, but you know what? Your music scene ain't nothing. It's nothing.
Right.
But this is Memphis. This is ground zero.
It's what happens.
It's rock and roll ground zero. It's soul ground zero. It's the home of the blues.
Right. Mm-hmm. And
the music that's coming out of the city today that people aren't even aware of. And it's not even soul. I mean, there's punk bands that come out of Memphis that are phenomenal. Somebody's got to take it on the chin and stand up and try to get that music out there. So that's Rick right there.
That's what we do. Yeah. And that's why this thing was built. And we've been on the air for, it'll be 5 years in July. We moved into this space a year ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this used to be Twilight Records.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I remember. I was telling Mark, I remember coming somewhere.
Did you record down here?
No, but you know what? Now it's coming back. Somebody did something and they needed my vocals on it.
And you came down here and did it, probably.
And I came down here because I had on these shoes and almost fell down the steps. I remember now.
I don't know why I'm laughing. I apologize.
That's sensitive, man.
Well, I've almost fallen down the steps a couple times.
I have too, but I wasn't wearing
it. And I didn't even have heels on. I was just.
You should try it in heels. It's not easy.
I know it's not easy.
Yeah, especially when you've been drinking.
Right. I don't want to tell that part.
R.L. Burnside did the Mr. Wizard record down here.
Okay. Okay.
Among many others. North Mississippi All-Stars did some stuff down here. Okay. Charlie Rich did Behind Closed Doors here.
Oh, yeah.
This used to be this is his hideout. This was his rehearsal space.
Wow.
And they recorded back when Leeway had it. See, it was Twilight, then Leeway, and then Pete Matthews had it, PM Studios, and then we moved in. And we're about to have that room, that tracking room, open again. We have Ryan Royals coming in from Skeeter Hawk Records as our engineer, and that'll be happening probably within a month.
Wow, that's funny.
Of course, I've been saying that for 3 months now.
You said a month,
I know, but that's all. That's what he keeps.
But you believe in what you're saying.
He's moved his gear in. I mean, we just got to get
and
it.
And this is all made possible from our benefactor, Brad Dunn.
Yeah, Brad Dunn over at American.
If you know Brad.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Small world.
Duck's nephew.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know. Hell of a guy, too.
Wow. Absolutely. He's a wonderful guy. He called me up and he said, when Pete was moving out, he says, Radio Memphis needs to come down here. Because Duck did his last record here, The Hellhounds.
Wow.
He produced it and played bass on it.
Well, that's so great. You guys are doing what you do, and it just gives musicians hope.
Well, and it helps to have artists that don't suck. And that's just it. We're right here in the middle of it.
You're right here in Memphis. That's not a problem.
No, it's not a problem. If we were in like Omaha, we might have a problem.
See, I thought I was crazy, but now I know you are really crazy.
Thank you.
All by yourself.
Thank you.
You got a category all by yourself. I love it. I love it, though.
They broke the mold.
I wanted to. I'd like to say Rick has issues, but he has all subscription.
That's a good way to put it.
So the medicine doesn't work anymore. It's just what it is.
My therapist told me, get out.
Get out.
Just
leave.
Get
don't
out.
Talk.
You are helpless. Just don't go. Talk. Yeah, just go.
Wow. That's something.
Tony, thank you so much.
No, thank you so much.
It's been an honor and a pleasure to meet you, and we can't wait to see you live. So when you come back this Christmas, we're going to get you a show, and I'll be there.
Okay, did you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, he heard that.
And
I would be so happy to see you guys. You know I'm going to be cracking up to see y'all on the front row because I know y'all going to be clowning.
No.
We'll be there to be.
It's all respect. You know.
No, I want to have fun. I want to have fun.
After the show, that's a whole different deal. You let us backstage, and that may be a bad mistake.
You don't even have to say a word. It's automatic.
All right, it'll be here between December 1st and December 7th.
Just in time for her to come back and sign it
for
you.
To come back and sign it. So, it's on order, though. It's done.
Very cool.
Cool.
Now, thank you again, my dear, and have a safe travel.
Thank you.
You know,
thank
we want you so to come much. Back soon.
And have a happy and blessed Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Yeah, you as well.
Thank you.
You as well.
Yeah, they don't celebrate that over there.
No, I'm taking my hot sauce.
Yeah, I hear you. Good for you, dear.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
I got word that she had made it safely back to Paris, which is a good thing. But the idea, though, the reason why I was sort of excited about that show is that is a kind of a quick look as to what the new format of this show will be like for whatever religious reasons that they feel is appropriate. That's part of the reason. A lot of it, too, is straight out bloodlust. Because they've misinterpreted certain passages within the Quran that allow them to go out and kill people. So they get a free pass to go out and do whatever it is that they want to do. They're going to inflict their religion onto you, and if you don't like it, tough. This is honest, but it does sound like certain members of the Republican Party feel the same way. Well, this is a God found. This is a country found on God and Christ. So keep your religion out of my politics. And I'll keep my politics out of your religion.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
From a live performance in Paris, France, at their version of the Grammy Awards, we have for you some music. Tony Green and Malted Milk. Just call me. It's live. It's right here. You're listening to it from Radioland.
Now, I wrote this song. This is my song, all right? So I need y'all to come on, put your hands together. Just call me and I'll be there.
My thanks to Miss Toni Green for spending some time with us. She'll be back with us in December at some point. Well, that'll be fantastic. She's great. And we're also going to be trying to work out a way for her to sit down with the great Howard Grimes. Both of them spent some time with Willie Mitchell over at Royal Studios. So, yeah, that's going to happen. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. So stick around. There's more on that coming soon. Those of you who are new to the program and this has been shared to you in one shape, fashion, or another, I hope you enjoyed it. You know, please share it to others as well, and let's get some more listeners and subscribe to it. You can find us at iTunes. That's one of the places. You can also find us on Pocket Casts. It's a groovy little app you can get for your smartphone, no matter what operating system you're running. They have an app for you, and it'll take care of it. We're also on TuneIn, and we are hosted at Podbean, rickcheddar.podbean.com. And, of course, you can find us at the home of it all, radio-memphis.com. My thanks also to Mr. Mark Caldwell for putting it all together. And my partner in crime, as always, Mr. Jeff Janovitz. Thank you all, fellas. And there you go. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.